The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, it's never a sleeper around here. How you doing?
Well, not around here, man. Maybe if you're in a New York courtroom, I might be a little sleepy, but certainly not on the Devil's Advocate.
Dom, the headlines tumbling out of DC, or pardon me, New York. I guess the Hush Bunny trial in Manhattan. Trump snoozing. A lot of reporters reporting that Trump could not stay awake through what is otherwise considered compelling testimony.
Well, maybe it's a defense mechanism. Like, he doesn't want to hear it, you know? So he just closes his eyes and shuts his ears. And, you know, if he can't see it or hear it, then it didn't happen.
I understand. He has been seething. He's been so angry. Aides say he's damn near, you know, like too angry to grift. Or fundraise, well, as they call it.
That's got to be tough for someone like Donald Trump, whose natural instinct is to grift. So when you're that mad that you can't even behave as you normally would, you know, there's some tough times going on right now with this guy.
Well, let's start with the headlines, and then we'll see if Trump woke up over the lunch hour. He was very busy over the lunch hour.
Yeah, man, to take down all those 9 posts that the judge said were going against the gag order and charged him $1,000 per. He's got to pay by Friday. And the judge told him that those posts have to come down from Truthy Social and your campaign site about like 2 o'clock, and they were done at noon.
He backed down.
He's backed down. He's very energetic because, you know, he was sleeping during testimony.
The headline, Sarah K. Burris at the Raw story, Trump snoozes during bombshell testimony from Stormy Daniels, ex-lawyer. Let's read, Dom. Donald Trump dozed off. That's a kind way of putting it. In the Hush Money trial again on Tuesday as a crucial part of the hearing. Well, it's all been crucial so far. Lawyer Keith Davidson took the stand to talk about his previous representation of adult film star Stormy Daniels. And this guy's a twofer, Dom, and Playboy playmate Karen McDougal. 2 people central to the case. Davidson was involved in the deal to sell their stories about sexual relationships with Trump to the National Enquirer. Same broker, same guy. Interesting witness to fall asleep during, Dom.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe this guy has something you want to hear, but you know, Trump knows it all, so what has he got to be there for?
Former prosecutor Harry Lipman on the Twitter posted, Karen McDougal, also a client, represented her in 2016 regarding rights and responsibilities regarding personal interaction with Donald Trump. And it's also noted, Trump's asleep. A similar report from MSNBC's Katie Tour cited a little bit of color before revealing Trump does not appear to be awake. Some of these reporters paid extra. Someone stood in line.
Right. $50 an hour, man.
So they could report that the defendant is sleeping at the defendant's table. Tur added, Trump occasionally looks around and closes his eyes again. It appears he's going in and out of sleep, according to the reporters who are inside the room watching. I'm not clear about whether the jury is seeing him do this. We're waiting on a confirmation of whether the jurors are paying attention to Donald Trump or paying attention to the witness stand. Couldn't it be both? Trump has fallen asleep in court. They describe it here, Dom. several times previously, with his lawyers being forced to nudge him awake on at least one occasion.
Sleepy Don.
I've never had to nudge you awake during the show. The latest snap came as Davidson described his relationship with former National Enquirer editor-in-chief Dylan Howard. As Law 360 Stuart Bishop explained, in a 2016 message exchange, Davidson tells Howard, "I have a blockbuster Trump story." Howard responded, "I will get you more than anyone for it. You know why." Howard again worked for the unfortunately named David Pecker at AMI.
"I will get you more of the National Enquirer
than anyone for it. You know why." Now, Trump has denied charges that he arranged payment to Daniels to silence her about a sexual relationship. You know, even Mitt Romney sensed that that's a little hard to believe. Nobody pays $130,000 to not have sex, as Mormon Mitt Romney would say.
Yeah, man. When Mitt Romney's calling you out, man, you know you probably crossed some lines.
Now, Rich has done the hard work. We've got some of the sound from Donald Trump outside the Manhattan courtroom. Today, lunch break.
Lunch break. And he did speak a little bit. Court has wrapped up for the day over the top of the hour. He did come out and essentially say a lot of the same kind of things. So we don't have to worry about, you know, cutting up some new sound. We can play the old sound because it's all the same.
It's meandering. It's wandering. Let's play cut one.
This is a hoax. This is a judge who's conflicted. Badly, badly, badly conflicted. I've never seen a judge so conflicted. And giving us virtually no rulings. I hear I'm not even allowed to say advice of counsel. This is a new one to me. The whole thing is a hoax. All of them are hoaxes, including the civil cases. They're controlled by the White House. They're controlled by Democrat judges and prosecutors that were put there specifically. They hate Trump. And the people are getting it. That's why we just came out. A new Emerson poll just was released about 2 minutes ago. And I'm leading by a lot in every swing state.
Good polling.
In the general election. And the Biden protests that are going on are horrible. It's all caused by him because he doesn't know how to speak. He can't put two sentences together. He's got to get out and make a statement because the colleges are being overrun.
He put several sentences together and then he kind of shakes them all up.
And it's all Biden's fault. It's all the Democrat plot. It's all nothing. Nothing that I have done in my personal or professional or political life that caused any of these things to come to fruition. No, no, no. It's not me. It's you.
Dominic, what's interesting to me is the contrast in how so many of these conservatives and MAGAs treat suddenly the anti-Semitic behavior. They claim that's happening on these college campuses at these pro-Palestinian sit-ins or peaceful protests or whatever the case may be. And that's what he's talking about. You know, they're suddenly painting this as Joe Biden's chaos. It's all across America on the college campuses. Well, anyways, let's just play the Trump, because remember what they said at Charlottesville?
I do.
What'd they say, Dom?
Very good people on both sides.
Well, that's what Trump said. But what did the actual marchers say?
Jews will not replace us.
I perceive that to be a little skosh anti-Semitic. You know what I'm saying? And Trump is calling out the protesters on college campuses. And I believe he also dropped a reference to Charlottesville. Mostly good people, right, Trump?
He said he ran because of Charlottesville. Well, if the people that know Charlottesville, when you extend the statement, it's a big hoax what they say was said, and they understand that. And Charlottesville is peanuts compared to what you're looking at now. This whole country is up in arms, breaking into colleges, knocking the hell out of Columbia University. I mean, they took over. I know the building very well. They took over a building.
Oh my God, there's a sit-in.
They took over a building. I know it well. What'd you pay off the building, Trump? Jews will not replace us. Blood and soil. That was another one that the Charlottesville anti-Semitic white nationalists were chanting.
And all marching of a sudden, in their khakis with tiki torches around the Robert E. Lee statue that they wanted to remove from the public square.
And now they're what, the Jewish people's greatest defenders.
And I would point out, Heather Heyer got run over by a MAGA at the Charlottesville.
Yes.
As far as I know, there's been no victims here of the protests, the peaceful protests on college campuses, including UW-Madison. Last I checked, it was happening. Let's play a little more Trump. Defend on Trump, sleepy Trump. Don Snorleone, play it for the people.
We would love to debate anytime, and I think it's a good time to have a debate, even though it's early. But 6 months is pretty close. November 5th is going to go down as the most important day in the history of our country, because we're going to turn our country around. Our country is going to hell. It's going to hell. It's very sad to see. But November 5th is going to be the most important day in the history of our country.
I concur with Trump in that regard. November 5th, a very important day in this country's history.
We're going to hell. You know, Donald Trump, he's going to keep us from going to hell. I guess I'm
only
not clear
if we vote for him.
It was often. You know, a global pandemic during the Trump administration. And if you're going to talk about like signs from God, don't you think, isn't that one of the things that comes out? That and maybe locusts and stuff, you know? I don't know. I don't believe any of that. But my understanding is those are some of the signs. And Donald Trump, well, you know, he got out of office and apparently we have the lowest amount of COVID since it started. So that's great.
Dominic,
it's not a hope and change message like Obama gave us. Trump's like, you know, Obama's like, oh, hope and change. And Trump's saying, oh, we're all going to hell.
I mean, the American dream, it's dead.
Yes, that's Donald Trump. And he's got more. There's a piece at Time Magazine. We will get to some of it today. He lays out some of his priorities. And I got to tell you, I'm not really down for these.
I can tell you his priorities, Dom. I'm on my lunch break. Trump sent me an email, 13 p.m. Central Time to be accurate. I want to read your words of encouragement. This is a message from Donald J. Trump. I'm in court right now. I only have a few minutes left for my lunch break, and I'm using it to speak with you, Michael Crute. Will you send me a message of support before I walk back into court for my rigged Biden trial? I'm going to read as many of the responses as possible. Stand with Trump. This message doesn't have to be long, but my critical end-of-the-month deadline is just hours away.
Oh, man.
It would be really nice to hear from a true Trump patriot instead of these radical Marxists in New York. I'll be looking specifically for yours before I head back in to face these thugs, Michael Crute. I mean, I think he broke the gag order with this Stand with Trump solicitation over the lunch hour. Come back. You cannot gag the devil's advocates.
Hey, man, give me some of that. Here we are. Class,
come to order, please. We are very privileged today to have a very special guest in our room. His name is Mr. Stadenko. And Mr. Stadenko is a narcotics officer. That's better, class. Now, Billy, where are you going?
I gotta go to the can, sister. I'll be right back.
You sit down, Billy.
Hey, no. Hey, I gotta go
you
to the can.
You sit down, Billy, and whatever you have in your mouth, swallow it immediately.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot, sister.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is the 420 break. Love it when you join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, perhaps the biggest breaking headline that's caught the attention of our audience. I've been getting texts all day from former U.S. attorneys, from our buddy Alan Robinson at herbalaspect.com, and of course from you and I, because there's joy in Mudville, Dom. The attorney general moves to reclassify marijuana as a lower risk drug, officials say. Going from a Schedule 1 as bad as what, LSD or heroin, to a Schedule 3 down there with ketamine and other
steroids.
Steroids? You know, Schedule 3, it's still on the schedule.
Yay! Congratulations. Let's do it. It's a step in the right direction, but are you kidding me? Alcohol is way more dangerous than cannabis. Period, full stop.
You tell me that frequently.
Right now. Grab a 175, maybe a couple 175s. If I don't know, pick your 80 proof liquor and slam it and die where I stand. Or I could go pick up an ounce of weed and roll joints back to back to back to back to back to back to back.
And you know, if you pay a guy $50, he'll roll all those joints for you.
As long as he's in line as well. So it's a great first step, I guess. But how the hell is this not regulated, taxed, and processed like alcohol? Like alcohol. Alcohol isn't scheduled. Alcohol kills thousands of people every single year. Weed doesn't do that. So while I appreciate, you know, the step in the right direction, come on, Garland, Democrats, Biden, get over yourselves. If you're going to have, if alcohol is the limitation, certainly weed should also be legal. Full stop.
Dominic, as it's reported here, top of the page, Washington Post, Attorney General Merrick Garland today will recommend loosening restrictions on marijuana in what would be a historic shift in federal drug policy, according to multiple people familiar with the matter. The measure, if enacted, would not legalize marijuana at the federal level, as Dom's been complaining about, but could broaden access to the drug for medicinal use and boost cannabis industries in states where it is legal. And the move may also prove to be a political win for President Joe Biden, who's campaigning for re-election and has sought to ameliorate racial and criminal justice inequities wrought by the nation's long war on drugs. All the way back to Cheech and Chong days, right, Dom?
Mm-hmm.
The Justice Department has scheduled to submit a formal recommendation to the White House on Tuesday. It follows the Drug Enforcement Administration's approval of the Department of Health and Human Services recommendation that marijuana be reclassified.
Not
declassified. That's a lot of acronyms, Dom. The White House Office of Management and Budget, you know, the Office of OMB, Dom, must review the measure, according to people familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of anonymity. At least you don't need Republican senatorial approval. The measure, if accepted, would not go into effect for months until the public has a chance to comment. Here's my comment. Hurry up! The DEA's approval was first reported Tuesday by the Associated Press. That's the one you shared with me, Dom. The DEA, the Justice Department, and the White House declined to comment. They think you're a narc.
Curdy, for more than five decades, marijuana has been classified as a Schedule I controlled substance with a high potential for abuse and no accepted medical use. Under the DEA's proposed change, marijuana would go to the less risky Schedule III in the same tier as prescription drugs such as ketamine, anabolic steroids, and testosterone. The historic policy shift comes as marijuana is easier than ever to obtain and has become an industry worth billions of dollars in the United States. Hang on a second. It was always an industry worth billions of dollars in the United States. Who would have thought selling drugs could make some people money? Are you kidding me? 38 states and D.C. have legalized medical marijuana programs. And
not Wisconsin.
Have approved recreational marijuana.
Not Wisconsin.
In October 22, Biden directed health officials to expedite a review of whether marijuana should remain a Schedule I substance. In August, HHS notified DEA that it was recommending marijuana be reclassified. The agency relied on a Food and Drug Administration scientific analysis that found marijuana has an accepted medical use and evidence it can treat certain conditions, including nausea and vomiting. It also cited studies showing a moderate benefit of smoking marijuana for pain.
Oh, my back.
My arm is broken. Cannabis activists Tuesday hailed the potential change as a milestone that will signal that criminal cases should assume a lower priority. A quote, "This is going to help normalize cannabis more than anything that's ever occurred in the U.S. since they started the war on drugs," said David Culver, Senior Vice President of Public Affairs at the U.S. Cannabis Council and Industry Advocacy Group. "This is the most significant federal cannabis reform in modern history, and I think sets us on a path for the ultimate goal of federal legalization.
I want Other now, Daddy.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Other advocates asserted that the reclassification doesn't go far enough. Yeah, I'm one of those folks. They want to see marijuana removed from the schedule system entirely and regulated like tobacco and alcohol.
I concur, yeah. Doctor.
The deputy director of the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws and Advocacy Group said treating marijuana as a prescription drug would not legitimize how cannabis is available through the vast network of dispensaries and delivery services in legal state markets. Those involved in the state legal marijuana industry and the tens of millions of Americans who patronize that industry are all acting in a manner that is inconsistent with federal law. Theoretically, if the federal government wished to do so, all these players could be prosecuted for being in violation of the federal law. I mean, appreciate it for sure. I mean, we'll take a half step, but give me a break. I mean, alcohol is way more dangerous. What are the health benefits of alcohol? I'm just curious. Is there one?
All that ranting, man, you're harshing my buzz. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More of your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines heating up. Text line heating up. It's the same number. 844-967-2789. Dom, your customary greeting caught the attention of trash texting Jeff from Shorewood. You're welcome for listening, Dom. WTF else am I supposed to do at the end of the day? Well, apparently day drinking and pulling tubes, Jeff, in your case.
I mean, it is the happy hour.
Well, I feel happier than apparently our pal Jeff does. A little surly, maybe a Snickers bar, Jeff. Here's a little bit more. Angie from Monroe, we talked about the earlier, the line standers waiting for Trump trial tickets. I miss standing in line for tickets. I used to be able to get good seats. Well, Angie, the only time I stand in line ever anymore, waiting to board a Southwest flight or going to a dispensary in Illinois. The lines get long right there on the border, telling you.
The line of the border, man. There's a lot of Wisconsin plates in the parking lot.
Dom, there is an acronym that was shared with us here online. I appreciate it. DJT equals WLB. Whiny little bitch. And Chuckster has a keen observation. Protest encampments across the U.S. at every university. The first tents to be pitched, always identical branded models with gray and green color scheme. Same tents were first up at UW-Milwaukee. Find out who bought the tents, and you'll find out who's paying and funding the right-wing political actors fueling the Palestinian-Jewish campus conflict. Dark money GOP scheme to sour student vote for Biden. If you want to find out, follow the tents. That's the Chuckster's advice. Let's see if I got time for one or two more here. They say wine helps cholesterol, but I think you've got to be French. Give me my flowers, says Dana from La Crosse. I concur, Dana. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. A new one. Joshua from Greenwood. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, I'm listening to you guys every day on my way home from work, and you guys gave me the best news I could have probably ever imagined. So, yeah. He's telling me that it's being descheduled to class 3, and, well, I'm trying to gather signatures right now to run for the 69th District Assembly. And
where's the 69th? Where's the fight in 69, Joshua?
It's over by Greenwood. Goes by Memford.
Okay, you're still going to have to give me a little more information, fella. What's the biggest town other than Greenwood?
Medford. It's pretty small, too. It's a whole big farm community out in the middle of nowhere.
Is that sort of western Wisconsin?
Central.
It's like central. Yeah, Wisconsin. Central. Kind of. It's so west of Stevens Point, barely west of Wausau, east of Eau Claire.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, I'm from Greenwood, right there in the middle of it, actually.
You're putting Greenwood on the map right now, Joshua. I'm telling you, man, I never heard of the place. And I actually spent time in Stevens Point, but now you've made it nearly famous.
Well, I have my industrial hemp license, actually. The last 6 years in the state of Wisconsin, actually. Now I have to go through the federal government. I make pain creams and chill creams and vend them at small various stairs and things that stuff around the area and whatnot.
Well, now we know why they call it Greenwood up in your parts.
So, Joshua, I mean, how does this, how will this impact you and your growing operation, in your opinion?
Well, nothing really at the point, but I think somebody should be down there that actually knows what they're talking about when the law gets written in this next term. But I'd like to be able to put my hands on that in the 69th, and I'm running against Donna Rosar, and she's from Marshfield. And she doesn't even live in my district that she's running for.
Well, I was going to say, why didn't you lead with Marshfield? Someplace I've heard of. No offense to Greenwood. But if that's not in the district, I can see why.
Yeah, it's about 35 minutes outside of Marshfield, about west of Marshfield, in the middle of nowhere. It's just a whole bunch of farm towns and small town farm folk, you know, and small businesses and stuff like that. But I feel like I'd be a good representation for our community, at least a lot more than my competitor is. And I'm not even sure if I know of anybody else that's even running, you know, as a Democrat. But I don't know. I plan to run as an independent because I feel like both sides are just voting party lines and down the ticket, and they need somebody to make them work, actually, do something, get something done. But I don't know. I still got to collect about 200 more signatures.
Buddy, 200's the only – you started by having to collect 200 signatures. Joshua, what you're telling me is you still have to collect 200.
They told me I got to collect 4.
Well, what they're –
I already got about 120 signatures just this last weekend.
Joshua, don't trust me. Look it up with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But I believe
– I've been calling the election. I called them yesterday on my lunch break, and actually they said I need – 200 to 400. I told
Well, 200 is the minimum qualifying. 400 is the maximum you can submit. So if
I
you get
submit more than 400,
you cannot submit more than 400 for a assembly seat.
I could submit 430.
Well, then believe them. There's 115% variation, but effectively you need 200 qualifying signatures to get on the ballot this fall.
Oh, really? Well, then I'm already almost there.
Don't trust me. I'd go for 300 at least, Joshua.
Yeah, you always want to get a little extra room just in case.
I was going for 5, actually. Actually, I wanted to get as many signatures as she had votes last time, but that's just me.
She had 500 votes in total in the district?
No, she had 29,000 votes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's more than 500.
I'd like to... Oh, I'd like to get 29,000 signatures just to qualify, but that's not going to happen. But I don't know. I've already talked to a number of people. I think I'm going to get some representation from the Tavern League. And I don't know, Grassland, I don't know if you ever had any Grassland butter, but they're made in Greenwood, Wisconsin, actually, too.
Well, but
I don't know. I'm going to get a lot of support from the manufacturers. I've been doing stainless steel welding, pipe fitting for the last 15 years, crisscrossing the country. I was a wrestler from Loyal, graduated.
Joshua, since we've gotten this far in your resume, give the people your last name, and if you got a website, now would be the time to tell them.
Joshua Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, and my website, I am on Facebook and Instagram at Stevie's CBDBs.
What, say that again. Stevie's?
Stevie's CBDBs. That's my business. That's where I make my
DVDs. DVDs.
It's my middle name and my father's name. But
Joshua, now you're getting a little too far in the weeds. Do me this favor. Get something that people can find you as a candidate. Go by a URL, put up a little basic page, preferably with like an Act Blue on it or some, I don't know, do the independents have a fundraising arm they utilize? Libertarians, it's every man for himself, right?
Yeah, right. Good luck with all that. Appreciate the call, Joshua. Appreciate you considering out there, you know, representing your community You know, you got to do what you got to do. I would recommend, though, I mean, it's hard to get traction as the independent, but given your, I don't know, location up in central Wisconsin, perhaps that's the way to go. But I would say this, Republicans are not down for the legalization of the cannabis, man.
Are you sure? Now, you're talking about legislative. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Right on the phone number and all. Legislative Republicans are not down for legalizing marijuana.
Well,
the
okay.
rank and file, the people that actually live in the state of Wisconsin, even Republicans by a majority, last time I checked, prefer the legalization of marijuana. So their representation does not reflect their will or our will, because if you ask Democrats, it's like 80% that would choose to legalize marijuana. 844-967-2789
from the original AP article. Again, Attorney General Merrick Garland suggesting, pushing for rescheduling, not descheduling, of cannabis. According to the AP, last week, 21 Democrats, led by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, sent a letter to DEA Administrator Ann Milgram and Attorney General Merrick Garland, arguing marijuana should be dropped from the controlled substances list and instead regulated like alcohol. Yeah, Chuck, this is my talking about, ma'am. It's time for the DEA to act, the lawmakers wrote. Right now, the administration has the opportunity to resolve more than 50 years of failed racially discriminatory marijuana policy. That's what I'm talking about.
844-967-2789. Going to the phones, all the patient people. Let's go to Andrew from Detroit. Andrew, you got legalized marijuana, at least on the state level. Is that why you're calling? Just to rub it in our faces?
I'm calling to tell Crudy, I'm just sick and tired of driving over the border and risking getting caught. And even worse is taking my canoe and going across the lake. I mean, good God, I hope this goes because, you know, this has been too much on me. It's been good physically, but oh, my God. All right. Good luck with that.
I feel a little snark coming from Andrew. Come on, man. You know, it's really tough. I love coming back to Detroit and visiting family in the Rochester area. I drive by, you know, the 696 and 75 and get off in Ferndale, hit the live, the LIV, the live, I guess. The dispensaries, man, they got, you can order online. It's curbside service, Andrew. It's top of the line.
And they used to call that an open air drug deal, Andrew.
You know, and come to Detroit just to visit Detroit. Detroit is so much different than everybody
downtown.
Detroit is the place to visit now, you know?
Hey, Andrew, the NFL draft, man, there are 775,000 people in Motown, man. What was your thought on that?
It is so good for the economy of the area. It's just phenomenal. You can only imagine what happened to the city of Detroit because of COVID. But our mayor here brought the city out of that bankruptcy so much earlier. And Detroit is a beautiful city, and it's getting more and more beautiful. The neighborhoods, yeah, there still needs to be some work as it moves out from the neighborhoods. But, you know, our mayor is doing the right thing. And I'm so glad I moved to Detroit, and I'm so glad I call Detroit my home now. Not Michigan. Michigan's not my home, but Detroit is my home.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
I'm originally from Rhode Island.
What brought you to Detroit then?
Work.
I thought you were going to say legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
Andrew,
bring me to Detroit, man.
Appreciate your call. We were in Detroit not that long ago. When was that? End of February.
Oh, that was for the primary, the Michigan primary. Yeah.
We were in Cadillac Square, downtown Detroit. We met some people. We ate at the local diner, like is our custom. And I was very surprised. People were skating. And it was a warm day, but there were still some ice there. I met the Jesus freak out there. He was a hell of a nice skater, though. 844-967-2789. Cam from Nina. Welcome back, Cam. Been a bit, but I've seen you on the text line. What do you got for Cam. Us?
Hey, guys. I've been cautiously optimistic, I think, about Well, actually, more so cautiously worried about the rescheduling bit, because I figured eventually it was going to come, right? I didn't think it was going to be this soon, but it's partially because I'm not entirely convinced the DEA wants it to be rescheduled, because I think that'll hurt their funding, and I'm worried that the next thing that they're going to target is things like Adderall, which they were really lax on during COVID to an alarming point that people were able to get it really easily. And I'm wondering if that's the next thing that they're going to target, but maybe that's just a tinfoil hat. I don't know.
I would guess perhaps online penis pills or women's birth control. They're always angling for that.
You know, that is a good point. You know, budgetary, if you don't spend it, you don't get it, that kind of thing, Cam. I would be, obviously, if there's lots of other real issues we have in this country, the fentanyl, I mean, the Republicans don't stop talking about it. There's other things for the DEA to do. And, of course, it also takes away the ability for, you know, the police to just, you know, stop random folks because they smell like cannabis.
I know I smell like a skunk. I hit one back there.
I love that smell.
Come back.
Like freedom.
More Devil's Advocates, 844-96-PARTY.
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Donald Trump coming to Waukesha tomorrow while he's, what, on trial break. And apparently also going to be able to attend the graduation of his son on the 17th. It's not that he wanted to go. He just wanted to free up that day on his calendar.
Now he has to go, right? What if he doesn't go to his son's graduation? Was it to make him a bad father of the year?
What is the son's name again?
Is it Barron?
Barron.
Isn't that his pseudonym?
That was
what he called himself?
Yes!
He called the journalist to say, hey, this is Barron. That Donald Trump, man, he is a sexy, rich, awesome human being, and you should write up more stuff about him.
I am John Barron. He used to talk about himself very glowingly as John Barron. And that's how he fed news stories around, you know, before we found out about the practices at the National Enquirer, Dom. But here's my question for you and the audience, because my intent tomorrow was to go and do MAGA on the street interviews. And some of these people will certainly be Wisconsinites, but I think we'll be less than shocked to find there's a lot of front row Joes that follow Trump around. They're like parrot
heads. It's like the Dead Tour, man.
Well, yes, a Dead Tour of sorts. Dead President's Tour, perhaps. But anyways, I want to go and meet the people. But here's the question. What are the questions I should be asking the MAGA faithful in Waukesha tomorrow? I'll try to make a point of asking your best questions and trying to keep a straight face. Depends on how much snark, how much mustard you put on there. But I'd like to hear from you, 844-967-2789. Got any thoughts on this topic, Dom? Of course, one must think, I've got to ask, have you been watching the Hush Money trial?
And have you been interference trial?
Communicating with the former president during his lunch breaks, because he often seeks advice for me, or at least money, during the lunch breaks.
Is it ever a wrong time or a bad time to ask for money?
Yes. Today, Donald Trump asked for money after he lost on the gag order ruling. And he said, I've been gagged further, something of that sort. I've been cited by the courts. But yes, when one is being gagged by the courts as a criminal defendant, and they've already ruled at least, what, nine times? $9,000. So nine of the 11 alleged violations of the gag order must have merit. And you break from court and you start saying, did you see this jerk off just held me accountable for the gag order violations? Send me money. That's a bad time to ask.
The judge himself is not Donald Trump is able to talk about the judge. Now, he can't talk about, you know, the staff or those kinds of things, but the judge is fair game to Donald Trump. So that's not a violation.
Is it a good idea? Ask Engeron no. and the $454 million finding oh, of yes. it's, fraud yeah, in on. New the, York.
The consummate victim. It's always somebody else's fault. No, I mean, just because they inflated or deflated my assets to give me an advantage and give, you know, pad my pockets and essentially take profits away from banks who would normally otherwise charge a higher interest rate or different terms because of your fraudulent loan applications. And you got called to the mat for it. And now it's all this big conspiracy. But, you know, this is the actions. This is what you did, Trump. These are your actions. And I get that when you're never held accountable, it really sucks to be held accountable. I mean, prosecution can feel like persecution to those who've never had to be held accountable to anything. Welcome to the real world, son.
Well, here's the interesting part in regards to the voter deception. They've done a pretty good job, I think, the prosecution has so far. Now, the defendant gets to go next, but what are you going to do, put the old man on the stand? I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt it.
Do it.
But I was unaware the number of credible witnesses, the former attorney for both Stormy and the Karen McDougal, same attorney, negotiated this deal.
Initially, correct.
Not yes. Michael Cohen. Not Michael correct. Avenatti. Not some right. of the ne'er-do-wells that we've heard about associated with this. And you know, you think about these salacious details, but it wasn't just one allegation that Trump cheated on his wife. One of the allegations was a long-term romance, air quotes, with a mistress, a former Playboy playmate. And they found it very credible. They thought it was gold, Jerry. And the National Enquirer chose to kill that story for the benefit of David Pecker's close personal friend, Donald Trump. And they knew they were doing so and might be breaking campaign finance laws. Mr. Pecker knew it. He's got an immunity agreement to give testimony against Trump in court. So I actually think from my understanding of the daily reporting, I'm not in the courthouse. You know, I don't have to smell the flatulence or hear Trump snoring.
Thankfully.
But from my understanding of the reporting, I think the case being laid out on behalf of the prosecution is stronger than I would have anticipated, you know, just from the prior reporting before court.
Well, they lead with Pecker. They bring in the guy who set up the LLC. They bring in the banker. They bring in McDougal, the attorney. Yeah, I mean, they're lining them up and knocking them down. And by the time Cohen gets on the stand, all the things that he will say have already been presented, or most of the things that he will say have been presented to the jury by more credible witnesses and, of course, documents backing up those statements.
And the interesting part, they introduced some of the E. Jean Carroll testimony today, and they also introduced C-SPAN video of Trump denying he ever knew either of those women. But, of course, we've got some conflicting testimony. Come back. Don't be conflicted. More devil's advocates. And I need your bright ideas. What do you ask your average MAGA on the street? 844-967-2789.